We're going to talk today about joining God on his mission. One of the most incredible realities of the Bible is that God says, though he doesn't need us, he has chosen to ask us and invite us to be a part of the process of him redeeming and saving and transforming the world. And if that's not just an absolutely kind of mind-blowing, awesome thing, I don't know what is, but it's real. Jesus said it like this in Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Jesus spoke to his followers, his disciples, and said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." It's very interesting language. Often we think of, oh man, just the world's going to hell in a handbasket, and just nobody loves God, nobody wants God, and Jesus doesn't have that perspective at all. He says the harvest out there is plentiful. It's the workers that are few, a.k.a. it's the church that's just kind of sitting on their butt. It's the workers that are few. Now, we're not that church, and we don't want to be that church, but it's very interesting. Jesus is saying, man, there is a harvest out there. People are longing for God. People are hungry for God. People are looking and searching for God. And so Jesus says, that's really not the issue. The issue is that my followers would raise up, stand up, join me. So Jesus says, that's what we need to pray for. And so we're praying for that, that God would transform our hearts, that we would be those co-laborers, laborers. God calls us to join him in his work. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And I love it. It's very clear. It's his work. Jesus said that. Send out laborers into his harvest. This is God's deal. It's God's mission. God's the one with the power. And we get the privilege to come alongside and partner with God to be a part of his mission. That's just incredible. So we're going to talk about that today. And at the end, we just want to pray for everybody. I'll explain that more in a little bit, but it'll just be fun. This is something that we are not brand new to. This is something that we're learning to practice. But I feel like there's a season here. There's a moment, a moment to seize that God's working. And so this wasn't originally kind of the message plan, but feel like the Holy Spirit just led in this direction. And so what we're going to do today is talk about this, but we just did it a couple weeks ago. If you weren't with us, then I'll inform you. Well, we took the whole church service, and we just went out into the community. One of the rhythms that we are learning to live by, it's part of the covenant, if you read through that and hear that, but one of the rhythms of life as followers of Jesus, we want to follow his way of life. We really believe that he was the model for what life is meant to look like, the privilege that we have to live this kingdom life as followers of Jesus, and he makes it possible through what he did on the cross. But part of that way of life is going out. Very simple word, out, where we reach beyond ourselves to serve the world around us and join God in his mission. And that can look like a million different things. But it takes us being intentional about getting out and being a part of it. And so last two Sundays ago, we did this. And we took very simple little messages of God's identity, the way God declares, not God's identity, our identity in God's eyes. This incredible, so loved that God has for us. We took some of those simple messages. You see them out there because that's some of the finished product. Very simple messages. Things like, someone delights in you. Someone sings about you. You have purpose. Today is a good day. You are so loved. All of these things based in very clear scriptures about God's heart for us. And so we went out. And we just had a little parade, actually, all the way down to the corner there, McCall and Bradley. And then we spent about an hour sharing these simple messages of God's goodness. And it was a lot of fun. The reception was really warm. It was really a cool thing. And I want to take a minute and just share a few testimonies from you guys. As last week, after the service, I had multiple people come up to me and just say, oh, this really cool thing happened last Sunday. And so, if you don't know us well, I'm a sucker for testimonies. I love just hearing stories of things that God did. So, let's do that. Just want to take a minute here and If you went out with us and you felt like you had a good experience and you saw God work in some way, maybe it was just God working in your heart, or you saw God working in someone else's, I would invite you right now just to share. 30 seconds to a minute maximum, and let's just hear some stories of what God did when we took a little step of faith, a little risk, and we went out. So, if you got a little story for us, 30 seconds to a minute, raise your hand. We'll pass the mic around. All right. Got a customer right here.
Okay, so it was an absolutely awesome event that we got an opportunity to go out and share with the community. And I just wanted to share really quick on delays. So everyone was walking out to the group, and, you know, I got a little delayed, as I usually tend to do. But what I wanted to impart on everyone is sometimes those delays are God's perfect timing. And so in that little bit of a delay, we were kind of lagging behind, and we got an opportunity to just meet an amazing woman. And we got an opportunity to just hear her story and to just be that listening ear and to be able to offer up prayer. And sometimes, actually about a year ago, I thought to myself, I can't pray in front of other people. It used to cause great anxiety for me. And as I just started to believe that the Lord wants to use each and every one of us, he's just been able to move in me and work. And I believe he can do that for each and every one of us, because I used to think back to the story of Moses, and what I kept getting, or the lie I was hearing was, but who am I? And so I wouldn't pray for people, and I wouldn't reach out, and I wouldn't do these things, although that was my heart. And so this was a great opportunity to get out as a church and move together and just be a part of the body and to be able to pray for people and to just really reach out in past our comfort level. And it was a really great experience for all of us, and our kids got a great experience as well, just getting out there and seeing the power that the Lord has for us when we just step out and do something different.
That's awesome. Thank you very much. Thank you. Did I see a hand back there? Yes. All right. I trust you.
It's loud. So I wanted to share something with you, but first, and, you know, we try to keep it under, you know, 5 minutes. But, but first I wanted to share that this was the second time that we actually did it. The youth went out, as a lot of you know, the youth went out. But one thing I wanted to share that was really cool both times was our pastor. He was awesome both times. And as a matter of fact, I got yelled at by the POA when we were standing in the front for being in the lines and trying to take pictures of us and videos of us. And then going to the guard shack and you know, basically loving on them was awesome. So that, and then even over there, he's in the middle of the medium looking for a window down, and people are like, you know, oh gosh, and he's like this lurking and trying to, hey, Jesus loves you. Did you know that? You know, and that kind of stuff, but it was really cool. So anyway, we were out there, and this lady walks up, and she's just there in front of me. And I said, hi, you know, how's it going? And she goes, oh, okay. And I said, oh, you know, where are you going? And she goes, well, I'm just, you know, crossing the street. So I kind of captured her because she was stuck waiting for the light. So I talked to her, and I said, what's your name? And she says, Grace. And I thought, wow, cool. Okay, and anyway, I talked to her, and I said, you know, we all, you know, just said words of love and words of emotion that, you know, if things aren't going right, you know, and we're going to pray, and we're going to, you know, turn things around for you. But the thing is you don't get to see, a lot of times you don't get to see the results of that, you know, interaction. So maybe a few days later, I was over in the Canyon Lake Center over at there's a little cafe that we go to over there, and I walked in, and Grace is standing there. And I looked at her, I said, hey, you're Grace, right? And she goes, oh my gosh. And she starts shaking. She's like, oh, you were the man at the light over there. And anyway, She was there because she had gotten a job. And it wasn't a great job. It's a labor job, that park that they're building on Newport over there. She got a job stacking blocks. You know, she's a little tiny lady, but she was happy. And she got this job, and she had actually taken the bus over to that cafe to have breakfast. So I actually sat with her and had breakfast and got to talk to her. And she said, you know, you don't understand, that day changed my life. And she got that job. She got a room. I don't even know if she was homeless or what happened, but she got that room. She got a room. She's making money now. And I was hoping she was going to come last week because I, of course, invited her here. On the way home, we saw her at that park stacking blocks. So it was just awesome. It was amazing.
That's rad. Yeah. Thank you, sir. All right. A couple more. Got one in the front as I'm passing by. Anybody? All right.
All right. If Pat did 5 minutes, I can do 2.5. No problem.
It was one was the request.
Oh, it was so double portion blessing
this is
on the minutes.
Not compare yourself.
Oh, okay. No, don't compare. No, all right. I need to hear that message and not compare myself. That's good. That's a good message. No, so it was just an awesome day. Going out, and for me, my sign was you have a purpose. And God gave me that message on my heart before we even went out there. When we came and we were doing the signs, and I saw the paper of all the messages, you know, and it says, you have a purpose. And it was just affirmation that this is really what God was wanting people to know, that he has purpose in them. And so we stood on a part where we weren't grouped with a lot of people. We were kind of coming as people were initially coming into the blessing zone, I guess, is that initial. But for me, I was holding my sign and holding it boldly, but I also had this big smile on my face. And just smiling at people, like genuinely really smiling at people. And, you know, people react differently to that. But some people, they're just, you know, they drive by like, okay, they're still getting blessed. They just don't acknowledge it. But other people, you know, there was a guy who wasn't even in the lane that I was in. He was another lane over. And he'd pulled up, he was stopped there. And, you know, had the sign. I think he said something or said, hey, man, you know, I said hi or something like that. And he's like, oh, yeah, what church are you guys with or whatever? And so, you know, obviously he was with the Lord. And then God told me, he said, he has a business. I said, hey, do you have a business? He said, yeah, I have a business. I said, oh, man. And God started giving me these words and these things to speak to him. And he starts sharing across, you know, we weren't even right here. It was across the way. He's like, yeah, I'm in business. I have 6 kids. I have a wife. Like, I really need that blessing. Like, this is, you know, I have this whole family to provide for and everything. I love the Lord. And God was giving me just words of affirmation of how he serves the Lord in his business and how the work of his hands is a blessing and then just giving him a blessing. And this happened, like, lanes over, you know, these words. He's giving me prophetic words and things and at a stoplight. And for what? Just because we're there holding a sign saying, hey, you know, you have a purpose, and there's just the Holy Spirit is working and touching lives and changing. And so what was done there, I know there's so much, you know, seeing Micah dancing like the sign twirler in a gorilla suit, you know, on the corner, and seeing Casey just operating like, Jesus loves you. It was just, but being that church, being that body and doing that was such an amazing impact. It was just a pinprick, really. But God doesn't need much more than that, you know, to touch a community and transform. So it was just a blessing for me to be a part of that. Thank you.
Awesome, man. Very cool. All right, we got time. One more, if you so desire. There we go. On the spot. Ron.
Thanks. I just want to say that God, as we were walking out there, it struck me that God had already prepared good works for us to do and that he just wants us to walk in those works and to be that light, to be that love to people, to show them that there is hope, that there is somebody that loves them, even when it seems like nobody else does. And for me, the best part was very end. So I'm going to give Mark his sign back he's parked at the handicap spot there in Coco's, and this lady comes up to me and she's like, hey, what's going on? And it just gave me a chance to share with her God's love for her, and that she does have a purpose, and to be able to talk to people one-on-one is even more of a blessing to me than just holding the sign. But holding the sign was great, too, because people are waving at you and high-fiving, and it was just really an awesome day. Thanks.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you. Did I see one more hand?
I'm not one for speaking, but I'm the recipient of Melissa's and Ryan's prayers. I met them 2 weeks ago. I work over at the Coldwell Banker, and I was standing out there putting my open house signs in, and I saw Ryan, and I started talking to them.
All right, all right. Thank you. All right. So, fun times. And what I want to encourage us with is that, as was expressed in some of those stories, and I know you guys, there's many other stories that could be shared as well, it wasn't complicated. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to feel like a Bible scholar. You don't have to have a degree. You just need an available heart with a story to tell, with a little bit of a step of faith, and trust that God, it's God's mission, it's His work, and He just loves, and He's looking for us to just be a part of that and be available. And when we trust with the expectation that God just wants to use us to share His love and goodness with the world, then beautiful things happen. It really is that simple. And my challenge for us today is, can we all walk away with a little bit more in our hearts saying, God, I'm willing to be available. Not just once in a great while when we take a Sunday morning and go out for an hour, but when I wake up on Monday morning and I go into work, or I wake up and I go to school, or I'm going to go hang out with my friends, God, I'm available. If we all live more and more into that mindset, the harvest is plentiful. What a glorious reality. The harvest is plentiful. And God's calling the laborers. This is a whole body of Christ thing. You notice how, you know, Jesus didn't say, the harvest is plentiful, so man, find a really good, awesome, superstar pastor and make sure you get that person to go hear him. It says, the harvest is plentiful. Pray for laborers. Pray for many. Pray for the body of Christ to be raised up and available to go out in their spheres of influence and just be available to be a part of God's mission. That's when we will see a radically transformed community. And I want to take us to the scripture. I kind of just summarized what we're going to say, but I want to make sure you guys know that you can really believe what we're talking about. You can really believe what I just said. It's from Jesus. It's from His heart. So join me first here in Matthew 28. And you're going to see in a moment here how this is young and old, men and women, educated, uneducated. This doesn't matter. All those barriers don't matter. As God's beloved children, we are invited to be a part of His mission. In Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, very famously, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So just a few things I want to point out in this scripture. This is famously called the Great Commission. I think it's very helpful to break that word down in a very simple way and just look at the word. Commission is a co-mission. It's people on mission together. And that is really the beauty of what's going on here. This isn't go out by yourself on your own strength for your own agenda, for your own glory, and just go be awesome. No, this is Jesus saying God has a mission, and God is inviting you to be a part of His mission. The co-mission is that it's His. God's at work. God's preparing hearts. God so loved the world. It's God's harvest, and it's plentiful. He's working and stirring and drawing people to Him, and we get the incredible privilege to be a part of His mission. But I just want us to make sure we've got clear. It's so important If you're following along in the Lyft notes, that's that first underline right there. It's his mission. That takes a lot of the pressure off, though. And that's that second piece. The mission's done in his authority. That's where Jesus starts off by saying, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, so go. What does that mean? His authority is going to go with us. His authority is going to be with us. It's his power. It's his mission. It's his power. It's not us. We are not called to save people. We're not called to change people. We're called to step into God's mission with his authority and let him do his work. That takes a load off. He will always be present. We're not doing anything that's meant to be not with God. I love that. Again, take the pressure off. He says he'll never leave us or forsake us. He'll always be with us. Why? Because it's his mission. So we can know if we're stepping out, our source of peace is that he is present with us. And truly, it's his presence that's going to be the difference maker. It's his authority made known in his tangible presence that changes hearts, that shows people that they are a beloved child of God. It shows people they have purpose. It shows people God's goodness is pursuing them. It shows them there is hope for the future. Again, the pressure's off. We get to join with God. So what he's doing in verse 19, go therefore make disciples of all nations, he's inviting us to be a partner. Paul says it somewhere else, a co-laborer in what he's doing. So again, this is just reinforcing. This is not something we've got to conjure up and force and put on our shoulders as a heavy burden and make happen. No. He's doing most of the work. He's just inviting us to partner with where he's working. And then he goes on, and this is probably one of the most important aspects of when we think about mission that we've got to have clear. That word go, very famous, right? Great Commission. Go! Stop what you're doing and go! That word, it's often read as a command, the imperative sense of it, if you're a grammar fan. It's go, it's a command, right? Jesus is commanding us, go, go across the world, go to Africa, go to foreign places, etc. Go, go, go. It's actually not a command. It is in a passive tense. In the Greek, it's passive. There's very clear ways to make things commands, and there's very clear ways to make things passive. This is a passive tense, meaning that an accurate translation of this word is as you're going about your way. The word that means, that is translated go, it actually also means to walk, to live. So you got to get this sense, Jesus, what he's really saying, and let me fast forward a little bit. The first command, the first imperative in this great commission is make disciples. That's actually the command of the statement. Discipleize them is kind of the literal translation. Discipleize. So we translate that in English, make disciples. It's one word. It's all about, it's a command to disciple. Disciple people. Make disciples. So when you put those things together, though, I just want us to see, this is a lifestyle. What a better translation would be is, as you are going about life, make disciples. See, the passive part, as you're going about life, you're just going. You're going. You're going about life. Make disciples. That's where the command comes in. What's so important for us to recognize in this is that to make disciples is not supposed to be something for which we have to remove ourselves from everyday life in order to make happen. Now, there are people that are called to remove themselves from everyday life and, for example, go to Africa, be a missionary overseas. Those are great things. But what this command is saying, what this Great Commission really the appropriate translation that Jesus is trying to get us to grab onto is you're all missionaries. If you're a follower of Jesus, you get invited to be a part of God's mission wherever you're at. As you are going about life, make disciples. In other words, be on mission wherever you are. And that's where you can see that's the only way this is going to work. If the harvest is plentiful, that means there's people out there in your sphere of influence. Think about your life. Think about the friends that you have, the neighbors that you know, the neighborhood that you live in, the workplace that you have. All of us, this is certainly not something that should be for the professionals, because you have areas of influence I'd never even seen or dreamed of. And this is why we can see it's a whole body of Christ, because we all have our own unique spheres of influence. And we're called by Jesus to see those spheres as our mission field. You got kids in sports? There's your mission field. You work here? There's your mission field. You live in that neighborhood? There's your mission field. As you're going about life, carry the kingdom with you. That's what Jesus is saying. Just as you're going about life. It's not for an elite, special forces few, superstars, and no one else could dare. It's the exact opposite of what Jesus is trying to say in this passage. He's just saying, hey, you following me? Good. You're on my mission then. You're part of my team. So as you go about life, carry the kingdom with you. And I want to share us a couple more verses, and we're going to pause. Part of the question, an appropriate question, is, okay, well, how do we make disciples? If that is the command, how do we do it? That's a very appropriate question. And obviously, given the fact that it's our vision statement, that is going to be always our vision statement, there's a lot of depth to the answer to that question of how to make disciples. But I want to take us to a passage where Jesus is speaking, and it is the essence of making a disciple. So join me in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus is just risen from the dead, and he's got his 120 followers, if you will, in that upper room, and he's speaking to them, speaking to the disciples, and he tells them how it's going to be possible that in God's power, they're going to get to be part of God's mission, and in their everyday life spheres of influence, they're going to carry the kingdom. How is that possible? That's overwhelming, right? Jesus said this, verse 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. There is a simplicity in this that I want us to grab onto. Jesus essentially says, to carry the kingdom means, in God's power, share your story. In God's power, share your story. In God's power, share your story. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Power, story. You will be my witnesses. That's the same word that would be used. Another translation is a testifier. Someone who would be called to before a judge as a testimony, a witness, a testifier of a story of something that happened. It's that same exact word. So Jesus is simply saying, go share my story. Share your story. Testify. Share your story to people. What has God done in your life? To break it down in the most simple way, to testify, to share your story, here's the only question that will get that you need to know to get you going. How is your life different than it was before you knew God? How is your life different than before you were walking with God? How has God transformed or changed your life? It's all the same question. How is your life different? If you're walking with Jesus and you've got a vibrant walk with God, you've got a story to tell. And so when you encounter people in your sphere of influence, and as the more you walk with God, this is where the power comes. It's not, oh, now you just have certain status of degrees or whatever. No, it's if you genuinely walk with God, you're going to become more powerful. Why? Because you have more of a story to tell, and you can relate with people's situations. So when you're on the workplace, and someone's stressed out about money, and they're not able to make their mortgage payment, and you've walked through a fire of that, and you've seen God provide, and you've seen God make you into a good steward, and you've learned how to make a budget, and you've seen God provide supernaturally, and you're having victory in your life, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be, hey, oh, they talk about something like, oh, well, do you know if you're going to heaven or hell when you die? That doesn't have to be the only way you draw people closer to God. And in fact, that's probably not going to be a very effective one. Just meeting people where they're at with the story of how God has changed and made a difference in your life. And so if you've walked through and you've had victory in that area, you can share an encouraging testimony. Oh, wow, that, you know, you can relate. I've been through that. Wow. You're about to go into foreclosure? Well, man, can I share you a story of how I just saw God do something crazy that saved me from that? That'll perk up some ears. Or if you're at school, and we got our youth in the room today. So maybe you've been through bullying, and you've been through the hard reality of people being mean on your campus and trying to fit in, and you're not cool enough, you're not good enough, you're not skinny enough, you're not smart enough, whatever it may be. And you've walked with God in a way where God's given you some freedom from living on other people's opinions. And God's given you a peace to know that you're loved by the only one that matters, the only opinion that really matters. God delights in you. God sings about you. And if that's become real to you and someone's having a hard time, boom, there's a God moment waiting to happen of you just sharing your story. This is how God's made a difference in my life. Share your story right where they're at. And I'm not trying to minimize the need to share the reality of the gospel, that we are separated from God in our sin, and we need Jesus. We need to be forgiven, and what he did on the cross is central, and that's part of our story too. That is absolutely part of your story. And when people are feeling that emptiness, and man, life's just not working, no matter how much success I have, no matter how much money I get, my relationships aren't working, I'm just kind of feeling empty. Man, do you know you're made first and foremost for a relationship with God? You know, until you have that, everything else is just not going to work. This is my story. I tried doing that. I tried finding my identity and satisfaction and money, sex, and power, and it didn't work. And so, but wow, Jesus, man, what's your story? Do you have that story to tell? See, this is where you're powerful. You have a story that I don't have. Now, we have some commonalities, but I believe God's placed you strategically in places where people need to hear your story. And so you look for those opportunities of where is my story connect with where someone's at? Where is what God's done in my life with how God's made my life different, the difference God's made in my life, how can I pass that on to someone else to draw them closer to Jesus, to invite them into a more real relationship with God? And ultimately, we got to rest, though, that it's in God's power. And that's what Jesus said. This is the first part. In his power, share your story. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And so this is where there is a supernatural reality that we want to acknowledge. It is by the power of the Holy Spirit upon us, around us, in us, flowing through us, giving us gifts, his gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the compassion of the Lord, all of these things, supernatural insight into someone's situations. We can call those prophetic words where God can speak to you something about that person, kind of like reading their mail, and you're like, they're like, whoa, what? How do you know this? Or it could be a gift of healing that when someone's hurting or walking on the street and you can see them, or maybe they're at your work. Especially if you've got a relationship for people. I've found people so open to that. Especially if you've got any kind of relationship. When people's bodies are hurting, most people will not turn down, hey, can I say a prayer that pain just go away from your back? Most people are not like, no, thank you. I like my pain. I like walking like this. I like suffering through each day. I mean, now, granted, you can come off weird if they don't know you. That's a whole other story, and there's a way to do that gracefully, and that's something I'm taking risks of faith in regularly, believing that God wants to move in those situations. But especially if you know them, if there's any level of trust, and you find out that they're hurting, see that as an open door. And if nothing else, you're dropping a love bomb. Just drop a love bomb. You're in your office. Someone's hurting. Hey, you got a headache. Can I just say a prayer for that headache real quick? People don't turn that down very often. And just in that moment, express God's love. Live out the compassion that God cares about them. God cares about the fact they're suffering that day. That's not God's will. It's not a good gift from God. God cares. Jesus was never a friend of any of that. And so you can model that in your prayer. And if nothing else, well, that's what we say. When you're praying for healing, if nothing else, may they experience God's love. It's God's job to heal. It's our God to love. Our job to love. Those kind of moments. But all of that, though, what we are saying and to follow Jesus is there is an expectation of it is a supernatural thing to encounter God. It is the Holy Spirit here, present among us, that gives us a revelation, an experience of God. And so when we say yes to the Lord, that we want to join God on his mission, we have to be careful again that it's not, oh, can I share my story perfectly? Can I take all the wonderful things of my life? Can I get all these skills? Those things matter. And as I said, as you grow in the Lord, you're going to have more to share because you're going to be able to relate more with different circumstances. And if you've got victory in your life, you've got a gift to pass on. But it's never outside of what Jesus is speaking of here, a raw dependence on the Holy Spirit. The God, I don't change hearts. I don't reveal God to people. I don't have supernatural power. You do, and you say that you want to have it come upon us, and that's not a one-time thing. You look at the rest of the books of Acts, they're constantly praying for more of a filling of the Spirit, a fresh filling, so that they can be living their life, pouring out power of the Holy Spirit to love people like Jesus did, to be able to show the forgiveness that Jesus shows us, to be able to have a compassion that looks into the hurting world and doesn't say, oh, they just got a bunch of problems and now it's their own fault, and sometimes people do need to make better decisions, but Jesus' gut reaction is compassion. How can he show them the dignity of being loved as they're created in the image of God and they are God's beloved daughter? That's what God wants them to know. That he sings over them. He delights in them. Love first, change later. As Jesus protected the woman caught in adultery with this just massive, I just see the spiritual side as these guys are trying to condemn for all these bad choices and she's caught in adultery. That's a pretty bad thing. And Jesus is like this spiritual, no, that's not what she needs to hear. She needs to hear, I don't condemn you. And then he finishes that encounter with, go and sin no more. But that's the kind of heart that God wants us to express. The world doesn't need to know how much God wants to condemn them. They need to see the compassion, the radical grace modeled in Jesus. As they're loved into the kingdom, then Jesus calls them to change. All of these things in the power of the Spirit. And so as we go about our day, honestly, you start the day, and if you're wanting to say I'm available, not a bad prayer. In fact, I think it's a great one to say, Lord, would you fill me up afresh with your Holy Spirit so that I can represent you like Jesus did. Everywhere Jesus went, filled with the Spirit, he represented the heart of the Father. So to some people, like her, it was this radical grace. To the outcast, it was loved. It was to the unlovable, it was, you know you have dignity in God's eyes. To the friendless, it was, do you know that God sees you and cares about you? To the ones who are physically sick, it was always, hey, let me pray for you and let me show you God's will on earth as it is in heaven. To those who wrestled with the lies of the enemy, it was always a deliverance from the enemy. The list could go on and on. If they had tangible needs, he met the tangible needs. If they're hungry, he fed them. So there's this spectrum. Jesus is the model. If you're looking for what is it going to look like, What should my life look like? What could it look like to go out and be available? Look at Jesus. He's the perfect demonstration of the heart of the Father and how God wants to be known on earth. And there's a radical dependence, though, in it, saying, I need the Holy Spirit upon me, filling me, flowing through me, as Jesus did himself. And that's going to be the difference maker. So I think we're going to pause there for the day, and we're just going to finish with prayer. If I could have the band come up, here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing a song, and this song is a prayerful declaration that we want to say yes to God. We want to say yes to this incredible privilege that God's invited us to be his hands and feet. God's invited us to represent Jesus to the world. God's invited us to represent Jesus. That is so radical. So radical. People love Jesus. The people that didn't like Jesus were the self-righteous religious folks, but sinners love Jesus. I want to see the world love Christians again. The Christians wouldn't be known for condemnation. The Christians would be known as the people that so-called sinners love to flock to. That was the reality of Jesus. He was hanging out with the prostitutes and the partiers, and they loved being around him. The most notorious sinners, quote-unquote, of the day, because we're all sinners, that's why it's in quote, but it's the folks that the religious people called sinners, they loved being around Jesus. And so what does that look like for us to be a kind of church that the notorious sinners want to be around because of the radical love of the Father that's displayed first and then change later as Jesus models? That's just one little taste, but that's where we need the Holy Spirit's help to get in touch with God's heart and to pass it on to others. So what I'd like us to do is we're going to sing this one song, and I want to invite you to hear the lyrics and join in as a collective prayer that we want to say, yes, Lord, we want to be a part of your mission in everyday life. Wherever we're at, that is our mission field. Help us see. Give us more eyes to see and ears to hear. Help us turn that radar on. Help us call upon the dependence of the Holy Spirit and then just say, God, I am available. Use me, Lord.
So as Casey was sharing, I just felt like God wanted me to share just two simple words when it comes to stepping out, just to love on people and to show them how much God adores them and cherishes them. And that was be yourself. You don't need to be anybody else. There's not a recipe that you need to follow. Just be yourself and listen to the Holy Spirit and just love on people. God works in so many different ways. And, you know, sometimes people have been so burned by the church that they don't want to hear anything overtly about God right away. It closes doors. And God may just want you to have a conversation or 10. And then naturally is, you know, just listen to the Holy Spirit. Everybody's different. And, you know, the thing is God knows what they need. God knows where they have wounds and where they need his love. God knows it all. And I just really want to bless the congregation, and I feel like this is really going to happen as you guys walk through this quick line of prayer. I want to bless you all that God would activate your gifts, the gifts that God has given you. You all, every single part of the body serves an amazing function, and every single person here has amazing gifts, different than anybody else, where you bring vital nutrients to the world around you because of how God made you to bring his power and his goodness and his love. So I just, I just want to pray just for a blessing for that right now before we start our quick prayer tunnel. Jesus, I just thank you for this body. I thank you for everyone here. I thank you that every single person here is a treasure of yours, a treasure, a recipient of your goodness, that you formed every single person in their mother's womb. You made them with amazing, amazing gifts, amazing personalities. And God, I just ask that you would, that your Holy Spirit would be here. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is here, just inspiring and bringing every single person in this room alive to be all that you've made them to be, in goodness and freedom and love. And we just thank you. We just thank you in advance because you are the giver of good gifts. We thank you in advance for your power that's going to be coming through this prayer tunnel right now. And we thank you in advance for remarkably and divinely changed lives, that no one would be the same after. In Jesus' name, amen.
For more podcasts and updates, go to weareelevation.com. Also, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/weareelevation.